Well, the plan for this morning was changed around a little bit this week. Came to my understanding that Brother Krill from Sulphur was going to come preach for us. I understood he's done that before, and I was looking forward to him preaching. But COVID kind of changes everything, and I think someone in his family got it. So he decided to quarantine, and he has to. And so I found out Friday night that I was able to preach this Sunday. And let me tell you, I've never prepared a message in one day before. And it might show this morning. I pray it doesn't. I pray it's a blessing this morning. I've never been known to be a long-winded preacher. You never catch me preaching over 30 minutes. That being said, we're not going to be long this morning. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and if you'd stand with me as you're turning, 1 John chapter 5, I'll be in 1 John for most of this morning. We're going to preach on faith over fear. And this might be something that we've heard a lot of preaching about, and I'm sure it has. That's something that we might know a lot about in the Bible. But I can't think of anything more prevalent today than faith over fear, something that's more needed in our day today. As we read in 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." He's a Christian. "And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." We love other Christians. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Verse 4 is going to be our key verse this morning. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Even our faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this tremendous opportunity to come and worship you this morning. Dear God, let us not take lightly any Sunday morning that we have in your house. I thank you that we're able to meet inside today, dear God. I thank you for the weather. I thank you for everything that you're going to do today. But dear God, as we look through your word, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would give us hope for the future and allow us to thank you for the past. I pray and ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Faith over fear. I want to talk to you this morning on what's at stake this year. In just 11 months' time, so many unthinkable things have happened. I think so many people coming into 2020 were probably really excited for this new year. I was too, to be honest. I had a lot of things planned. But boy, what a shock 2020 was. Come 2021, we're already expecting the worst. We're already seeing the worst. And we're already bracing for even more to come. And to put more salt in that wound, we haven't even been 2 weeks in yet. And there's a lot going on. I'm just a young guy, obviously. I've got my whole life ahead of me, it seems like. Finishing college, starting a career, getting married soon. Not that soon, but hopefully soon. But even me, I'm getting a little sick and tired of all this stuff that's going on. I miss the days when presidents weren't flying gay flags all over the White House and we could go to church freely and no one would question it. It's a different time that we live in. But even in the dark hour that we're in our nation's history, God is still on the throne. I'm so thankful for that. In 2020, God got our attention, I'm sure of that. Of every single thing that happened last year, none of it was out of God's control. I know for sure God got my attention. So many things happened and so many things are happening that I never would have thought possible. God has a funny way of changing our plans when it's not according to his will. In 2021, I really believe will be no different. Well, Jeremiah, Joe Biden's our president now. What about that? I don't care. It's okay. Well, Jeremiah, the Democrats, they're going to take over the country. Let them. We as a church, we as Christians need to learn how to have a perfect peace that passes all understanding. What better way to do that than in a new year than in 2021? I think of Christians in China and Christians in North Korea. They have to meet underground, and they're always facing the possibility of either one going to jail, their whole family's going to jail, or them being murdered, them being killed by the police. And they have to meet underground to worship Christ. But they do it. They still do it. And for most of them, they have a peace about it because they know it's right, because they know it's God's will. I want to say that whatever happens in this country in 2021, we need to be able to have a faith that God knows what he's doing and that we need to have a perfect peace that passes all understanding that only comes from God. Only comes from God. That mindset of a perfect peace, there's a key ingredient in there. And that key ingredient that we're going to look at this morning is faith. It's the opposite of what the world wants. It's the opposite of fear. It's what God wants us to have. It's faith. Faith over fear. This morning we're going to look at three people when it comes to dealing with fear and faith. Like I said, we're going to be real short this morning. I thank you for paying attention. I thank you for coming this morning. The first person I see is the sinner who needs a fearless Christian. The sinner who needs a fearless Christian. Church, I'm going to say something crazy. I mean, it's pretty out there. It's a little wacko. You might have heard it before, but if not, good. You learned something new today. What I want to say is this. It's that you have the potential to change the world. Yeah, that's a good phrase. Good job, Jeremiah. Good, preach the word, right? You do. Oh, okay, hold on. Let me rephrase that. If you and I are saved, if we have Jesus in our heart, if we're a Christian, we have the ability, we have the potential to change the world. To change the world around us. Think about it. When we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, we're receiving Jesus into our hearts, but not only that, we're having the Holy Spirit come into our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives and work in us, but not only in us, the Holy Spirit wants to work through us. The most influential Christians that have ever lived throughout all of history all had one thing in common. They were selfless people. They were selfless. They denied themselves constantly. They laid themselves on the altar for God, and God used them to do great and mighty things. And we might ask ourselves today, but why doesn't God do that anymore? What's the problem? What's blocking God from doing amazing things through me? I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God to change my surroundings. I don't want people to die and go to hell. I don't want people to think that the socialist idea that's coming into our country is right. I'm not saying everything Republic is right either. But the thing that's the greatest hindrance of the Holy Spirit in your my life, it's me. The greatest hindrance in your life of the Holy Spirit, it's you. It's my selfishness. It's my pride. It's my ego. It's my thirst to be first. It's me. And it's you that stops the Holy Spirit from working. It quenches the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it's magic either. That denying yourself will instantly cause everything around you to start falling into place. That the world is just going to flip over in one night. But I am going to say this. It's not the world that God wants you to change necessarily. God wants to change your world through you. God wants to use you to impact the ones around you. Your circle, your world. Not the whole world, your world. When you're right with God, you impact your world and those around you. I like to think of it, this might not be in the Bible necessarily, but I like to think of it as an order of operations for Christians. Like how we study in math, we have an order of operations when we're trying to figure out a difficult equation. We have a couple multiplication problems. We have x minus this in parentheses, and we got to figure out which one comes first. Because if we don't, we'll mess it all up and we'll get a wrong answer, right? At least to think, I'm not good at math. Math's not my forte. But I like to think of it as an order of operations for Christians. It starts with one. It starts with you. You're right with God, and you impact your world around you. A whole church gets right with God, and they start to impact their whole city for Christ. A whole band of churches gather together, and they might be able to influence an entire state for Christ. One whole state. A denomination of churches, they start catching on. They start letting the Holy Spirit work in them and then out through them. And an entire denomination of churches influences a country. And then a continent. And then another continent. And then before we know it, the entire world has been reached, and the entire world has been touched by the gospel, and the Holy Spirit has done its work in the world. Wouldn't that be amazing? Isn't that a dream to think about? But it's a real possibility. It really is. But sadly, it's one that is less and less likely to happen each and every day. What I'm trying to say is this. If you want to change your world, start by letting the Holy Spirit change you. You need to be used by the Holy Spirit before the Holy Spirit can use you. Sometimes, though, it's the fear that keeps us from reaching out to the world, from wanting to change our world. We've gone on this way talking about faith and fear, and we haven't even defined fear yet. I think one of the best definitions of fear is this. It's putting your faith in your adversary's power over God's power. It's putting your faith in the world. It's putting your faith in the flesh, that the flesh can provide, that the world can provide for you, that the government can provide for you, over what God can do for you. It's wanting money over wanting the peace that God gives you, the peace that God gives us. Fear is a powerful tool that the devil uses to distract us from what's really going on. I see fear everywhere on our world right now. And we wonder why the world's the state that it's in. It's because they're after security and they're after happiness and they're after fun. And maybe those things aren't bad, but they're getting it from the wrong source. They're doing everything to persuade people to get away from God and to try this and to try that, but it's not working. We know it's not working. So what are we going to do about it? Man. The devil is succeeding at directing our attention away from God, from God's power. And instead, he's wanting us to put our faith in the bad. Faith in the evil. Faith in the darkness. And as soon as we grip the fear that the devil wants to bring upon us, we say, there's no need for light. There's no need for good. And so there's no use anymore. It's worthless. It doesn't matter. We've lost all hope. We've lost faith. And we are overcome by fear. We might be overcome by fear in 2021. We might have been overcome by fear in 2020. But Christian, we have the light. What's inside of you, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, that is the light that world needs. You are the Christian. You need to be the selfless Christian that the sinner needs. Acts 13:47 says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." The world needs the light that is in us. The world needs us to be fearless Christians. The world needs us to have faith that God knows what he's doing. How else will we be used by God if we're sitting in a corner and we're fearing every political thing that happens? It's not going to work. We have to do something different. We have to rely on God. We have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. Moving along this morning, I'm telling you, I had a day to prepare. The second thing I see, the second person, is the saint who needs a powerful Savior. First, we saw the sinner who needs a selfless Christian, but now we see the saint. The saint needs a powerful Savior. No matter what direction our country goes in, no matter what we face in life, whether it be wars or separation or disease, death, isolation, nothing, absolutely nothing, I'm going to say it again, nothing can separate you from the love that Christ has for you, from the protection that he wants to give you, from the direction that he has for your life, and for the plan that he has for you. Nothing can ever separate you from that. Remember that. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, he is my strength. And at my saddest, God is my comforter. All we need is Christ. Oh, that we would live as if Christ was still on the throne. Hey, newsflash, he is still on the throne. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He loves you, and he will protect you. Isaiah 26:3 says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Because he trusteth in thee. At the end of the day, it's not a righteous government. You don't have to have a personal opinion on everything politically that happens in the country. At the end of the day, you need a trustworthy Savior. One that will keep you in perfect peace. One that will stay your mind when you're trusting in Him. When your mind is stayed on Him. When you're thinking about all the things that God has done for you in the past, and you know that God will provide for you in the future. When you have faith and no more fear. Nations rise and fall under God's sovereignty. But one thing is for sure, that under the United States of America, even after it's come and gone, God will still be with us. God is with His church. God is not with a nation. God is with the church. God is with His people. It's not the nation that will come and save us. It's God's people. Ronald Reagan said, "A nation that forgets it's under God is a nation gone under." And I see that. I see that now. I really do. We have to trust God. First of all, we saw the sinner who needs a fearless Christian. Second person we saw was a saint who needs a powerful Savior. The last person we'll see this morning is number three, the sovereign who needs our surrender. The sovereign who needs our surrender. I know something that God can't have. I know something that God can't have. Even with the limited knowledge that we have about God, we understand probably one thing most of all. It's His love for us. Maybe we don't understand it in a textual sense. Maybe we can't read about it everywhere. But we feel it. We see it everywhere we go. God loves us so much. God can't have an unwilling heart. It's not that He's not powerful or strong enough to have an unwilling heart. It's because He cares for us so much that He won't dictate our lives without our permission. He won't do it. God has the power to save the world in a gesture of His hand or the snap of His finger. But that would forfeit everyone's choice. Instead, God wants us as Christians to be completely given over to His will, to be selfless, denying ourselves, becoming a living sacrifice, and to recognize that He is able to provide for all of our needs, for the purpose that He can mold us into what He wants us to be, reach who He wants us to reach. Our world. He wants us to reach our world. I don't know what your world is. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe you're a teacher and it's at your school, or maybe it's your neighborhood or those around you. But God doesn't want you to be selfish. God wants you to be selfless. God wants you to say, "All right, God, I'm going into my workplace. I know a couple of my guys, they don't like to tell good jokes. I know they're unsaved. Empty me of myself this morning. I want to be used of You. And if I get an opportunity, help me to change my world today. Maybe not change it completely, but help me to influence someone in my world today." That's what God wants for us. Ultimately, there is a question that we must ask ourselves. Is God enough? What's worth putting your faith in more than God? Is it money? I sure hope it's not money. Is it security with your home? Is it making sure you can pay your next bill? Is it putting food on the table? Is it your work? Is it your friends? Or is it God? There's nothing wrong with wanting to provide for your family, but when you sacrifice God's will for your life to do something that you think is better, that's not living by faith. That's living by fear that God won't provide for you. I can't show you anywhere here in this book where God hasn't provided for anyone that He said He would provide for. Countless times in the Bible, God has said He will take care of us. It's like that song, "God will take care of you." That's such a good song because it's so true. God will take care of us. 1 John 5:4, our key verse. "For whatsoever is born of God," us as Christians, "overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Watch this. Even our faith. We want to overcome any obstacle that we have in 2021. We do it by faith. We want to overcome the fears that we have. We want to overcome the struggles, trying to pay that next bill, trying to make sure we eat tonight. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit in us, working through us, and it's faith in God that will provide. Are we going to decide to put our faith in God in 2021? Or are we going to forget His faithfulness and His power? I don't know about you, but 2020 wasn't all that bad of a year for me. Sure, some things didn't go to plan. Sure, I might have got COVID, might have not. I don't know, still to this day. Sure, I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. But God did some amazing things in 2020. God showed me. God brought me to my knees and He said, Jeremiah, I need to have control. Look at how you're running your life. Do you really want to do that for the rest of it? And I said, no, I don't want to. I know what I would do if I had the reins. But God is faithful. God always provides for us. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. I promise I'd be short this morning. I'll close with this poem. Written by Michael Plowman. He's a pastor up in Lyons, Georgia, of Liberty Baptist Church. It's a small town, but it's a good church. He wrote this poem for a conference that I was at in North Carolina in October. It was meant for pastors, but it still applies to everyone. He entitled it, Faith Over Fear. Will you have faith when attendance is down? When the folks missing church are seen walking around town? Will you have faith with a mask on your face when the governor says, shelter in place? Will you have faith with a camera phone on, standing in your corner, preaching alone? Will you have faith when a voice on the phone says, friend, the virus just took daddy home? Will you have faith standing 6 feet apart and not hugging that widow is breaking your heart? Will you have faith with no fellowship dinner, no taters, no gravy, and no ham in the center? Will you have faith when the choir's not back, when Sunday school attendance is still way off track? Will you have faith when laws just don't seem right? And churches get fined for spreading the light? Will you have faith if the vote gives a win to a political party that advocates sin? Will you have faith the world wants to know, or is all that church going just a big show? Christian, have faith, or have you forgotten? We preach God's Son, His only begotten. Christian, have faith, comes heaven's reply, because Jesus is risen and He reigns on high. Christian, have faith. The angels sing this hour. Corona is not stronger than God's mighty power. Christian, have faith. Shouts the angel band. Our choir still singing on heaven's fair strand. Christian, have faith. Cries an empty tomb. No matter how dreary, no matter the gloom. Christian, have faith. The Bible is clear. Come see the place, for He is not here. Christian, have faith. Said my Bible today, and no Wuhan virus can take that away. Mary can tell you. And Martha can too. And Thomas the doubter who saw his way through. Hear Peter preach, see John pray. They had faith on that first Easter day. The clothes, the napkins, the stone rolled away. They speak a message that's still true today. Have faith no matter the gloom. Have faith He rose from the tomb. Have faith, virus or not. Have faith, or have you forgot? Have faith, death will not part. Have faith, He lives in my heart. Have faith, that's heaven's story. Have faith and give God the glory. Have faith because the world needs to hear a Christian who puts their faith over fear. This world needs faith over fear. This world needs you, Christian. Man. No matter what happens in 2021, I'm sure there are a lot of things to be scared about. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that we're going to doubt. We're going to doubt the leadership in our country for sure. We're going to doubt the laws that have been passed. But one thing I know for sure is that we can never doubt the faithfulness that God is. We can never forget how He provided for us each and every day. how we're still breathing, how we have clothes to wear, how we have a car to drive to church. God is so faithful to us. We need to have faith over fear. Faith over fear. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day that you've given us. The time that we live in, there are a lot of fears. There's a lot of reasons to be fearful in the world's eyes. Dear God, we may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, 6 months from now. But God, we do know one thing for sure, that you're in control. No matter what happens, you're always in control. Dear God, I don't know if we've struggled with this before, but if there's ever a time to struggle with our faith, it's probably now. Dear God, as we go into this new year, be with us. Encourage us to have faith. Help us to encourage each other to have faith. Dear God, not only for ourselves, but the world around us. This world is growing darker each and every day, but we have the light. Help us to show the light. Help us to be faithful to you, to your promises to us.